Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com on this Memorial Day. Thanks, guys, so much for watching the show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce our crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he is back. Yes, Dr. Travis Yates, travisyates.org, retired as a major from the Tulsa Police Department. I think roughly around, 2 years ago now, Travis, if I'm not mistaken, coming up the two-year anniversary, or is it three now?
Tomorrow will be 2 years to the date was my last day at actual work. Now, I retired a month later, but you're coming dead on with the 2 years, Chip.
Was that when you got promoted to the lieutenant, or is that like... I'm just joking. We know that lieutenant in Tulsa, lieutenants and higher, they still work. They still get it done. So we appreciate that, Travis.
Yeah, maybe.
You're a workhorse. All right. And then also we have former LAPD commander, Jeff Wininger at jeffwininger.com, retired as a lieutenant just a little over a year ago from LAPD. He's now over in Ohio, bounces back and forth. He's also got that book coming out, On Thin Ice. If you're watching the video portion of the show, that's over his shoulder there. You can go to jeffwininger.com to get more information about that. And of course, we'll be talking about both these guys' works, the courageous police leader from Travis Yates as well, coming up in a second. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls.com. Complete Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Yes, thanks to them. We're in our fourth week right now in satellite radio. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1.5 million people right now. Also, Two Bells, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We are doing a $20 Two Bells giveaway today. If you type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And let me tell you what we're going to be talking about, what the appetite, and then we're going to be talking about what makes today Memorial Day special. But, you know, what coming up, we've got our first story, Mark Dial trial. A jury reaches a verdict on a former cop. We've also got body cam footage showing a fatal shooting of a suspect who opened fire on officers during a traffic stop. This traffic stop, it starts off bad and it gets worse. And then we got one bullet that hits two cops, and that's not good either. Wait to hear the story. Then we got a Sacramento police officers, plural. They shoot an armed domestic violence suspect while he's being eaten by a police canine. But the canine release, at least it appeared to me, was accidental. I'm curious what you guys think. And then we got a cop busted partying at a stagecoach while allegedly claiming $600,000 for a fake injury. It's a female. She got busted doing triathlons or marathons or something like that too. Crazy. Then we got Mustang police officer not charged after a deadly shooting involving a 41-year-old man. And then we got Chief Bill Scott. He has been tapped at the head of the LA Metro Police Force. Jeff Wininger's got some inside scoop on that. NYPD fatally shoots a man after a stolen car, a Porsche, nearly hits the officer on the Belt Parkway. And that is a pretty harrowing video, to say the least. But guys, today is Memorial Day. I think it's easy to take for granted. It is. We have so many great things in this country, the United States, and there's so much that's happened, including the ultimate sacrifice from our troops that make this great land what it is today. And so I just want to say how important it is, and we recognize the people that have sacrificed and paid the price, especially the ultimate price, in order for us to be able to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. The fact that we're able to have a law enforcement talk show talking about the news from a law enforcement perspective and be able to talk about preserving our rights, being able to have different states and things like policemen's bill of rights and being able to, you know, the Second Amendment, all these things would not even be possible had it not been for the people that have protected this country for so long. So, this day, it's not enough. As Travis said earlier, we should be doing a lot more. But at the very least we could do is just honor them this day. So everybody have a pretty good Memorial Day weekend so far. You guys can open up your mics there.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the condition of the guys in the show. You guys look pretty good for a holiday weekend.
Well, all I did was my wife had a bunch of honeydews. I've been taking shrubs and bushes out of my front yard. So that wasn't easy, though. That was a lot easier when I was younger.
You think?
Yeah.
I saw you on a podcast recently, and you dwarfed everybody on it, and so at a church. So you're not fooling me, Travis Yates. You've got that frame. You can. You're like a workhorse, dude.
Yeah,
you're,
they had me standing up a little bit. So yeah, they tricked everybody.
And Jeff Wenninger's not hurting on size either. In all fondness,
I've got an older kid that allegedly has me by an inch. So when I just went and got my real ID, and it must be true because it says real, they asked me what my height was, and I made myself 6'4". So now I'm beating him on height. So I'm pretty happy about that.
See, it's when your kid starts telling you that he's got an inch on you that, you know, you need to remind him that the old man can still take him. You
that's
know,
right.
Yeah. No, that
you know. You know, Chip, one thing I'd like to say about it being Memorial Day is I think what's really important is that we make sure that the youth understand the importance of this day. Sometimes this just turns into a long weekend holiday and the kids don't even understand the importance of it. And that's one thing that I find very, very rewarding about the community I live in. It's a community of about 4,100 people. And the entire weekend, we have a festival. And on the Sunday, they have the festival parade where everybody comes and lines the main road, and it's full of military personnel and all of that stuff. And that, you know, the community really shows its appreciation. You can look down my street and there's not a home that doesn't have a flag flying. And then on today, on the actual Memorial Day, they have another parade, but it's a solemn parade where they march down to the cemetery and they recognize the veterans that are
wow.
buried in the cemetery, and they actually have a military flyover. And that's what woke me up this morning and got me out of bed when I heard that.
Seriously?
It's really cool. So, wow. You know, you make sure I would have been out there lining the road, but I stayed up a little too late last night and enjoying the festivities in this village with the community members. But, you know, it's something my son understands what this is all about. And I think that's important.
Oh, it is. Raising them right. You know, a lot of people that not necessarily my generation, but the generation before, they grew up without a father, you know, that was lost, you know, in a war or a brother or two brothers. You know, the fact that I've gone through life and haven't had to experience that is a testament to what the people did, you know, before us that laid the groundwork and paid that price, you know. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it extends, you know, there's a lot of people in law enforcement that came from the military. And then when we had these, Iraqi war and stuff, they redeployed. And I had a really dear friend who was killed. He was blown up back on March 24th, 2010. R.J. Cottle. There's actually a CrossFit workout named after him.
He was LAPD and in the reserves, I guess.
Yeah, he was in the Marine Corps. He was a sergeant major in the Marine Corps. And there was a number of LAPD that were killed. He's the one that I knew the best. He actually played on the LAPD hockey team with me, and he worked Metropolitan Division. He was a team leader in SWAT.
Yeah. Close to home.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the day when I was informed. Yeah. Good man. He had a brand new daughter who was just months old.
Oh gosh!
Recently married, you know, that always happens under the worst circumstances. But sacrifices that he makes, you know, everything you do moving forward has to be in those kind of individuals' honor.
Well, guys, people listen to the show, please take that to heart. And at least I think we're starting the show off the right way. So thanks for sharing that. Those are important stories, you know, to share and for everybody to be aware of. So we just can't forget. If you guys are ready, we'll start the next portion of the show. I know that we've got an update story from Fox29.com, Mark Dial trial. Jury reaches a verdict. Not that I was super familiar with this, but in Philadelphia, this jury reached a verdict in the trial of a guy named Mark Dial. He was charged in the death of Eddie Irizarry, and he was killed back in August of 2023. And Mark Dial's a former Philadelphia police officer, and he actually ended up taking the stand in his own defense. The jury declared that Dial was not guilty on third-degree murder and official oppression, but they did find him guilty on voluntary manslaughter, and possession of an instrument of crime and reckless endangerment. So according to the body cam video, less than 10 seconds transpired between the time Officer Donald and his partner, they stepped out of the car, and then fatal shots are fired in August of 2023. Now, there's a video portion of this as well. We did cover this on the show back when it happened. Even though there's video, I wouldn't say it's super clear. And the defense that I would have expected him to use after watching the video is not, I still have not heard that defense that I anticipated to be said being used. But initial information provided, according to an article, claimed that the bad guy, Irizarry, had gotten out of his car with a knife and lunged at officers, ignoring commands to drop the weapon. That did not happen, though. The following evening, it says the department changed the account of the shooting to, a more accurate one, stating that our bad guy was actually seated inside the vehicle when he was shot. And attorneys claim the body cam footage shows that the bad guy never raised his knife or even tried to put it away. Kind of hard to see. Bad guy's family and the representatives and community leaders, they repeatedly have criticized the police department and the city response to the deadly shooting. And I would say probably at least partially justifiably so. Shaka Johnson represents the family in the wrongful death claim against the police officers and said that 3 inches of the knife is protruding silver from the top of his index finger. The windows are up. Music's playing and the car's parked. And the attorney said, not sure how we got there. I believe the windows were tinted, and that was why it was kind of difficult to see what was going on the inside. In closing arguments, the defense attorney, Brian McMongel, said that the DA should never have charged his officer's client, Officer Dial, and that the bad guy, high on cocaine, caused his own death. So, guys, we're going to come right back to this in a second. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from just about anywhere, right? Especially when you're considering online sources. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Galls at Galls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. They walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to galls.com and listen to this. They've got some great sales going on Memorial Day, you know, weekend as well. But for the loyal listeners of the show, you can use a radio code. It's called Radio15. To get 15% off your next order. That's good until June the 31st at galls.com. So again, Radio15 is the code to use to get 15% off. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Galls gift card. There'll be your new best friends, galls.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, when we went to commercial break, we had just talked about the Mark Dial trial, and a jury reached a verdict. He's a former Philadelphia cop. And, you know, they're trying to do a traffic stop. This guy had been run from them, and he ends up stopping on a street. And there's another police car on the driver's side. But our cop gets out of the pursuing car, leaves his partner, and he runs around to the front of the car to the driver's side. Our bad guy's inside. It's really difficult from the video cam, at least that I have access to see what's going on in the car. Although the prosecution said they admitted that the guy had a knife and you could see silver protruding from his hand and stuff. So the cop, when he runs up to the driver's side, you see him, he has his gun out, and you see him like jump, like he sees something is what it looked like that kind of shocked or surprised him. And then he fires lethal rounds through the driver's window and he neutralizes, he kills the bad, he kills the driver. The guy was non-compliant, so I think it's fairly safe to say he's a bad guy when he didn't pull over for the cops when they wanted him to. And he had cocaine in the system, all this other kind of stuff. So he's technically driving under the influence, yada, yada. But I expected him to say that he thought that the bad guy had a gun, and it ended up being a knife. I mean, that can happen. I mean, heck, that happens with cell phones, right? So I've never heard that defense. I even watched the video before the show and listened to the defense attorney. And he said that he just didn't think the jury, he was disappointed the jury found his client guilty, and that he thought that they should have let him, you know, given him a free ride on that. So Travis Shate, start us off on this.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at how the officer testified, and the officer testified in this trial, and he said that he thought it was a gun.
And he did say that, huh?
Yeah, he okay. did. It wasn't. And the problem I have with how this was portrayed from a prosecution side is they're portraying it in what we refer to as hindsight bias. Yeah, we all know now it was a knife. We all know now that he was sitting in the car and he didn't intend to apparently stab him or didn't raise a knife. But I would love to put this jury or these citizens in a scenario to where they walk up on a car and a guy in a guy's hand is metal protruding out in real time. I mean, this was less than a 10 second encounter. And so the officer perception was that was a weapon. And we see that. We see that, especially with non-compliant people, when we identify, you know, later we find out that, well, it actually wasn't a gun, but that was perception that it was a gun. And, you know, listen, the jury heard it. There was a aggressive defense, and that's what the jury was told, but they still sided with this conviction. And I think it causes everybody to pause. Anybody in law enforcement listening to this has been in a situation, maybe not this exactly, but your perception was different than what actually was. There's a difference between truth and fact, right? The fact is, we now know what the facts are. It was a knife. It was this. It was that. But what was the truth when it comes to what that officer perceived was truth at the time? There's a huge difference there. And Graham v. Connor is very specific. The case law is very specific in that we are faced with, you know, we have to make very quick decisions with limited information. That's actually the language in that case law. So what do you call that? That's not looking at all the information after the fact and determining after the fact this is what it was. We can't get in the habit of judging officers after that. And listen, I want to recommend, if anybody wants to dive deeper into this, I want to recommend a great book by Jamie Borden. Jamie is a panelist here. And I actually have the book right here because I'm actually interviewing Jamie this week. I've been reviewing it. But it's called Anatomy of a Critical Incident. Listen, I've read a lot of these books. This is the best book on the topic. If you want to understand what officers really face and what goes into defending what they face, this is the book to have. Jamie's the best in the business. And so I highly recommend it. But the prosecutors want people to believe that this is a very simple thing. Well, it was just a knife, or it was just this, or he was unarmed. It's much more complicated than that. And there's a reason why we see this come up in law enforcement, because we are telling law enforcement that they must make a split second decision on life or death with very limited information. And that's what this case really was.
You know, I have that book too, Travis. You're absolutely spot on that book. It's a great resource. But I wish the print was bigger, but it's a great resource. as I get older, I wish the print was bigger.
Well, Jamie is, you know, he's a lot smarter than us. And I guess he figured he didn't want 1,000-page book. So he condensed the print. Yeah. For sure. I guarantee that.
Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, I think the problem with this case is there are so many things that went wrong and they kind of compiled upon one another. And it really started with, you have to peel back the onion. First of all, you have to know this neighborhood. This neighborhood was in the Kensington area of Philadelphia, which is a violent crime area and predominantly a heavy drug sales area, where you're talking about fentanyl and opioids and things like that. My assessment of all of this is that this was like a pretext stop. They're there probably at the direction of their supervisors to address the drug crime and the violent crime in that area. And they saw a vehicle violation and went to stop the vehicle. And he had pulled over in parallel park. But what makes me suspect that this is a whole narcotics thing was the officer draws his weapon and runs right up to the driver's side of the window, which from a tactical standpoint is not something you want to be doing. So what prompted you to do that? It's hard to know because this officer refused to be interviewed in the investigation. He became, you know, belligerent with his own organization when he was going to be interviewed. And then to compile all of this, the department comes out and makes a statement, have no idea what their motivations were, but they corrected the facts of the incident after a security vehicle or video from a home was released and showed that this guy never actually left his vehicle. Now he did, when initially, and I'm surprised that the article doesn't talk about this, the charges that were initially filed against him were dismissed at one point, but then they were refiled again. But this whole thing is quite complex. It's a very complex case.
Yeah, and I've just learned, well, you're right, you know, there was not a lot of information that came out after this, and as far as, you know, the defense or the story, you know, I thought it was a gun. So I'm glad Travis is aware of that. because I was not able to find that. But guys, time for a second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CED3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove, and it's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game when it comes to Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already gone to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common sense approaches that's ever come along. And go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that domain name is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold and BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week or this week, Plainview and Plainfield, that is May the 29th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And, you know, we left off talking about a story where a cop got jammed up, Philadelphia police, and he took out an uncooperative bad guy, but the guy was armed with a knife inside of the cockpit of a car, windows were rolled up, and ultimately did not pose a threat. And I'm finding out actually for the first time that the cop did use a defense that makes potential sense to me, that he thought that he saw the shiny object in the bad guy's hand through the tinted windows he thought was a gun. And so that is a plausible explanation, at least to me, for the use of deadly force. Not saying it's always accurate, but it's a plausible explanation. Jeff Wininger was talking. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since I reviewed this case, but you know, I do believe that his partner actually did make a verbal statement to the shooting officer that he was armed. I can't remember if it was he believed it was a firearm or
a knife. Audibly, but before the shooting happened, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar to me.
So I don't believe for a second that this officer had any malicious intent whatsoever. It's like I said, and sometimes I blame the organization, because we want our officers to be out there and be proactive and take actions that are going to address the violent crime and you know, reduce the incidence of those sorts of things. But at the same time, we tend to, as organizations, throw our people under the bus when, in this same circumstance, if it didn't result in the shooting and they recovered, you know, X number of fentanyl pills, it would have been a commendable cop caper. But that's not how it turned out, as a result of things that were seen, the perceptions the officer had. But now he's the one who is having to answer to that. And there's no one saying, you know, what led up to these officers going out on patrol that day, where they had the frame of mind that what were they actually trying to do? You know, what was the direction they were being given, and then what training had they had, and what was the department, what was their allowance in regards to the tactics that they would hold people accountable to, regardless of whether you're trying to prevent somebody from destroying, you know, evidence in a narcotics type case or what have you. So it's a big, big issue that I think that law enforcement needs to address, and we have to stop throwing our officers under the bus when they don't perform optimally under these circumstances, because we're rewarding them for the exact same actions if there were a different outcome, if that makes sense. And I think that's problematic.
Good point, gentlemen. Well, guys, if you're ready to go on to a story with a video component, and we've got a couple that are just, we got more than a couple from over the weekend. This is Butter. What a great resource for these stories. So Let's go ahead and dive into our first one with a video component. Look, Audible listeners that are listening by podcast or radio station, stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're being left out on anything. If we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, just go to our Rumble channel the very next day. At 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will releases a special version of the live show after he embeds every video that we talk about. As we're talking about it, pictures of the good guys and bad guys pop up as we're talking about them. It's a great way to experience the show. And that happens Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning on Rumble. Now, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, which is where we get our videos and stuff from. It's called This Is Butter. There's a body cam footage. It shows a fatal shooting of a suspect who opened fire on officers during a traffic stop.
Hey, so listen, American, this is, take it. I take this with you, okay?
So now you want to give me that?
Hey, don't you reach it. Fuck! Fuck!
Hey, 10 Bravo, everybody slow down. Do I get him out?
Hey, so listen, American. This is, take it. I take this with you, okay?
So now you want to...
No.
Hey, don't you reach it.
Bravo, shots fired.
800 Bravo, shots fired.
800 Bravo, signal 1. 801. Yeah. 800 Bravo, he's not moving right now.
This thing starts off bad from the get-go. It's in Fairfax, Virginia. Body-worn camera footage shows the moments when a Fairfax County traffic stop turns violent. It leaves two officers injured and the suspect dead. Fairfax County police say the incident starts when an officer pulls over a driver for speeding. It's in the Fair Oaks area. And you know, it starts out as a routine traffic stop, but it escalates quickly. Now, in the video, the suspect becomes increasingly agitated towards our single cop. He's by himself right now, shouting profanities, expressing frustration. He's saying, the effing system is, you know, broken. And the officer tries to de-escalate, say, hey, sounds like you're going through a really tough time. The guy says, you're a liar. You lie about everything, you know, and he says he has four children and says he's lost like everything. And he finally hands over his identification. But, you know, we've got, you know, backup officers arriving. We got two backup officers. And so as the second officer approaches the passenger side of the window, he hands over his identification saying, listen, American, take this with you. And he had also made commentary about working with special forces too. So at the time, you know, when he hands over the ID, this is when it goes south. So the body cam footage clearly shows him reaching on his right side. He's going for something. And so the cop there that's reaching in the doorway, you know, he's yelling at the guy and making sure everybody else is aware of what's going on. So we got a cop right in the doorway, right in front of the guy. It's open. It's a open window. We got another cop that's back by the area where the door opens, back towards the passenger side. I'm sorry, not the passenger, the driver's side, but more towards the passenger door. And then we got a third cop that's looking in through the passenger window, the front seat, watching the bad guy. So he's going and he pulls out this gun. And man, as fast as that happens, he fires a single bullet, and that single bullet strikes both officers on that driver's side. And you can hear one cop saying, I'm hit. Well, he gets one shot off. And I tell you, the cop on the passenger side, he's Johnny on the spot. He does an excellent job. He pretty much does a mag dump right into the driver. And then the guy just doesn't move, and they have tactical team come in and they pull the dead guy out of the driver's side. And so our bad guy is 36-year-old Jamal Wally from Fairfax. And then Chief Kevin Davis said that both officers are expected to survive, confirmed that Wally, our bad guy, was lawfully carrying a gun even though he'd had previous legal and mental health concerns, and they were going to check in to see how he was able to get the gun. Wally had been living in the United States legally since 2014, previously worked with U.S. military overseas, and he was making references during the stop to the Taliban, but they think that's tied to his history, and that's about all they said. But commentary on this, Dr. Travis Yates?
Well, it seems like we bring this up every single show, Chip, of everything that's happening in context before the actual shooting. Yeah, shooting's justified. Yeah, we all know that. But what I continue to talk about is, and, you know, since Chief Davis is commenting on this, I mean, they and all law enforcement take a hard look at how we're training officers, because I'm convinced that we're training them to be Chick-fil-A at all times, no matter what. And at some point, you got to be Burger King. Okay. And here's the point when you have to be Burger King. Okay, you can't de-escalate every single thing, and I can't be the forefront of everything you do, because we get in situations like this. Well, quite frankly, those officers should have never been shot, because a minute in, the guy says, I have a gun. Okay, that's a check mark. Then the guy's very irate. It's another check mark. He starts talking about Taliban. Let's check mark that. Okay, and then ultimately, he talked to the officers, and he goes, hear American, okay, which is very odd. But what do we do as a profession? We stay at the window, we expose ourselves in the window, and we keep arguing and tussling until obviously he pulls a gun and shoots the officers. We need to take this information and back this thing up and have a different tactical approach. It doesn't mean the shooting's not justified. It doesn't mean that, you know, this guy's right or wrong. It just means that at some point in this career, we have gotten out of the habit of taking in this information before an encounter and critically thinking about it and going, hey, maybe we need to address this differently. Maybe we shouldn't just run up on the car. Maybe we shouldn't expose ourselves. Maybe we shouldn't sit here and argue with a guy calling us Americans that's extremely irate, that obviously, of course, he's obviously a foreigner. Doesn't mean all foreigners are like this, but he's verbally saying things, and physically he's acting in certain ways that's completely unique and an anomaly. It's not a normal stop. But what do? We expose ourselves. By the way, this also goes to communication. That backup officer shows up, and he's not exposed to what I just told you. Only the primary officer was. So he goes right up and exposes himself, not even understanding what's already happened. And so I think we've got to slow these things down if we truly want to just – because obviously we got lucky, okay? We weren't killed in this traffic stop. And we only seem to talk about tactics when something very tragic happens. Well, we should be talking about it in each and every time we see these things. And we see this quite a bit, unfortunately.
Wow. Good point. And you know, you're right. When he mentioned the gun, the report, they never mentioned it. And you hear that, and I played it back over. Like I said, it sounded like the guy says he's got a freaking gun.
The officer doesn't even react. The officer just keeps asking general questions. Doesn't even react to what he was told.
Yeah. Where's the gun? Where's it? Yeah.
Just, once again, it's crazy. There is no time to be Chick-fil-A my pleasure when you hear all of this stuff. That's what he continued to do, right? Because we've been ingrained in these officers. Well, if someone's upset and irate and mad, just de-escalate. Just talk nice to them. Just do this. Just do that. There is no guarantee you're going to stop anything by doing that. And it was very clear early on that this guy was not backing down. So why do we continue down that approach?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, tactics. A simplistic definition of that is doing everything in your power to minimize the bad actor's opportunity to cause you any kind of harm. And the first thing, and Travis talked about a number of checks. The first check was when this guy slammed on his brakes and stopped abruptly. That right there tells me I'm not walking up on this vehicle. And I also noticed some complacency wherein, you know, he clearly lit him up before he ran the car. You want to get a return on the car before you go walking up on it. He witnessed him slam on his brakes, but then he walked right up to the window, and he didn't put himself out at that location. He did that later. So there was a lot of things that we expect our officers to do from a tactical standpoint and officer safety standpoint, but that this officer didn't do, and it just snowballed into this issue.
Well, good point and good timing. Commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, forensic organizations, federal agencies, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're listening to the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they've got a great deal for you. The founder, Daniel Kelly, has worked it out to where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We were talking about a fatal shooting that happened during a traffic stop, and a bad guy got the jump on the cops and with one bullet hit two cops. Cops are going to be okay. Bad guy, not so much. He did not survive the shooting. There were actually three cops at the scene. Guys, any more commentary on that before we jump to the next one involving a canine? All right. You know, I love canines, Jeff.
Yep.
All right, here we go. And we haven't even talked about this. I suspected that the release of the canine, it appeared to be accidental. I don't know how Jeff feels about this. I'm dying to get your input, especially because you always bring that LAPD perspective, which is like, there really are not even sometimes subtle differences. There's like some major differences between operational procedures, you know, between, you know, West Coast and East Coast. And but when Jeff explains the rationale behind what they do, and sometimes it's based on the area or the violent nature, and you know, like you know, not pursuing a foot pursuit, not, you know, not a single officer chasing a bad guy or going around, you know, buildings or two-man units and all that stuff. A lot of this stuff makes sense. But at Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, again called This Is Better Sacramento, police officers shoot an armed domestic violence suspect while being bitten by a canine.
Take you to the ground. Drop the gun! Drop it! He's got a gun to his head. Johnny, stop! Johnny, stop!
Hey, people on the show. He's continuing to get the gun to his head. We can't call him to be the better than
He was getting eaten by the canine. I tell you, that canine, the area, the soft area of the skin where that canine had him, that tender little area under the butt, but close to the area that you don't want to get bitten at. Yeah, I was cringing watching that. So we're in California, Sacramento, May the 2nd. Officers respond to the scene of a domestic violence report. Now, the caller reported the suspect threw a knife at them, tried to molest them, and then stole their property, including their BB gun. So now police get there. The suspect, he's 37-year-old bad guy, Johnny Balcorda, and he runs and he hides from the officers for over an hour before being found near Matsu Park, and then they confront him. Now, he goes down by a riverbed, so they can't necessarily see him, but they know exactly where he is. I think they did a pretty good job, it seems like, of quarantining the area and containing the bad guy, and they definitely have a canine there. So you have a canine officer, then you got a guy that's on a PA system, and they're talking to the bad guy, just trying to get him to, like, you know, come out with your hands empty. And they're telling him they got the presence of a canine. They're threatening to use the canine, telling him he's definitely going to get bit. And of course, he doesn't come out. So now you've got our canine officer who I believe was the original officer pursuing the guy. Now he's approaching the area where they know the bad guy's at, and they have reason to believe that he's armed as well. So our canine officer is walking up to where the bad guy's supposed to be. But there's a thing going on with the lead. Instead of saying, you know, it's really, they call it a lead or like a kind of like people will understand it's like a leash, but a lead for canine. They're extra long so the dog can have a fairly good distance away from the handler, but he has control over the dog. But leads are a lot longer typically than leashes. And it's kind of getting wrapped up and he's kind of having like untwist it while he's walking the dog. And right when the bad guy appears, it looked to me that the dog pulled away and the lead just came out of the canine handler's hand, because he says off and he uses profanity twice right when it happens. You know, and like, crap, the dog got away from me, and the dog's running, you know, full speed at the bad guy. They've got like some kind of like it looked like aerial footage of this dog hitting the guy and taking him down on the ground. It was like a tackle. It was spectacular. I'm glad the canine didn't get injured. So we have all kinds of commands to the bad guy as the canine's, you know, hitting him, drop the gun. And then we've got two officers firing their handguns at the bad guy, and they hit him at least once, but he ends up surviving the shooting. And the person who reported the bad guy told dispatch in the call that he had an active arrest warrant for failure to register. And they ended up confirming that he had an active felony warrant for his arrest. And it goes on to say that footage from one of the officers involved in the pursuit said, hey, told him to get anyhow. It talks about some shoreline stuff that went on and stuff, but that's really the nuts and bolts of it. You do have a pretty good video of the canine biting the guy and not wanting to release, is typical for canines and stuff. But the bad guy ended up surviving, and there's a firearm laying on the ground next to the bad guy. And actually Sacramento police said they actually got two weapons from the bad guy that were recovered, and both of them were determined to be imitation or fake handguns. And according to police, our bad guy was booked in the Sacramento County Jail. And the charges that he faces, they include assaulting a police canine as well. I'm curious. We got about just under 5 minutes, guys. I'm curious what you guys, you know, think about this. And Sacramento's, how close is Sacramento to LAPD, Jeff?
Not real close. It's more center of the state, and LA is down in the south. I've never had any experience working with Sacramento PD, but you know, every organization has different policies when it comes to the canine and what the deployment standards are. And I agree with you that I believe this is an accidental deployment. I don't know if this particular agency has a direct contact allowance. I know the LAPD doesn't. If you know where the suspect is, you don't use your dog. You use other tactical means to obtain compliance and make the arrest. But other agencies are very different. And you know, LA is that way, probably for political reasons more so than best practice reasons. I'm sure there's been plenty of instances that suspects perhaps would have been able to survive an incident rather than allowing it to escalate by not using the tool of a canine to try to obtain compliance and effect the arrest. But so, yeah, you know, I found it interesting. I kind of keyed in on the tactical team that was on the top of the bluff that was just standing out in the open. And although that they had those ballistic shields, they were standing next to a police vehicle that could have easily been used as additional cover. So it's hard to say what's the wisdom of having taken the canine out at that point. Like I said, I don't know what their policies are or what the intention was, but it looks like it was an accidental contact.
Yeah, did you like how the canine is biting the guy right up near his junk, and they're saying, don't fight the dog, stop fighting the dog. And the guy's just like screaming in pain, and they were trying to get the dog to let go. But
yeah, I tell you, I've seen some just horrendous injuries as a result of canine bites. And with the LAPD, a canine bite, we went out and investigated those just like we do officer-involved shootings.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're held at the same level of you know, the extent of the type of investigation that we conduct.
Well, I wonder how that bite would be on a big guy, like maybe Travis's size. What do you think?
We're never going to find out. Those days are over. But listen, the best part of this whole video, you guys haven't mentioned yet, is early on where the officers say, Johnny, stop. Because that supposedly works, right? Johnny, stop. Yeah, this guy's got a disadvantage. You know, his name's Johnny. So, I mean, I understand being having a life full of anger and disrespect. So, anyway, it didn't work. But the officers were, you know, were Johnny Stop was page 6 of the de-escalation manual, I suppose, but it didn't work.
Well, on that note, you know, bad guy survived, and it made for a great video. Hey, Travis Yates, you still have Courageous Police Leader. Now you go around the country talking about that. How can people get a hold of that book, Courageous Police Leader?
Amazon, any major bookstores. You can find out more information. We throw out podcasts and articles every week at travisyates.org. And that's how you can kind of stay up to date with us.
I love it. And Jeff Weininger, you got that new book coming out, On Thin Ice. I see the cover behind you over your shoulder there. And jeffweininger.com, that'll get it done?
That'll get it done, and it can even make it easier. Go to onthinicebook.com, and it'll take you right to the landing site.
Yeah, I love it. And then they'll remember the name of the book. Oh, that's brilliant. Nothing short of brilliant. Wow, I love it. So if it's a, how are you looking on the release of the book, time-wise? And when people go to the website, are they going to be able to the sign up to get more information or pre-orders, or how are you doing that?
Yeah, they can go there and sign up for pre-orders. And we're looking at late summer, early fall. Like I said, it's my marketing team. There's a whole theme and system to this. And so I'm letting them make that decision on when it'll be officially released.
All right, excellent. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Dr. Travis Yates, Lieutenant Jeff Weininger, appreciate it. And I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. They also have that special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you can get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists, and that is at guitars4cops.com. And travisyates.org to check out his book, Courageous Police Leader, and also jeffweininger.com or On Thin Ice. Was that On Thin Ice? Was it a dot? What was the?
It's onthinicebook.com.
Oh, onthinicebook.com. Thank you. So guys, please check that out. If you guys want some really, this is like a it's like up-to-date stuff that's going on. If you really want to get lower liability and get educated, your leaders and your cops, and be that courageous police leader, right, Travis? Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make the show available. Gauze.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gumler.com, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard, Two Bells. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.